Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we are going to do another program today, probably a short program. I just felt that since I didn't really get to talk much about the Meyer teachings, that I would maybe supplement from last show a little bit this afternoon, or this evening, actually. You know, there are many things that I've mentioned many times in this program. Sometimes I think repetition is very good, and it seems like every time I go over something, again, I seem to learn more, which is very, very interesting. So thanks for bearing with me on all the repetition that I've done over the years. In the human being, let me read something from page 388 again on the Might of Thoughts. It says, two personalities live in the human being during his entire life. One is the inner nature, the ego, which the human being himself or herself creates according to his own ideas and guidelines, which she likewise creates himself or herself. This nature, that is to say, the ego, is always demanding, calculating, hysterical, and garrulous, as well as equipped with all the unvalues, which guarantee the human being a way of life according to his or her own laws and recommendations. Because they do not have the kind of direction determining form such as contained in the impulses of one's inner nature. So one of the things this innermost nature does, we have an inner nature, which is our ego. It's related to our material consciousness. And we have the spiritual consciousness, which is related to our spirit form. And the spirit form is the part of us that never dies, and it has the accumulated wisdom of all of our previous lifetimes, and it sends what are called quiet impulses of wisdom to the material consciousness. So one of the things we have to learn to do is pick up on those guiding impulses from our innermost creational nature. Now, the innermost creational nature is called the inner personality or the creational I, and it sends what are called quiet impulses of wisdom to the material consciousness. Now, your material consciousness has developed over your current lifetime. So 21 days after the sperm of the father fertilizes the egg of the mother, nature does something, and it puts what is called the spirit form into the forming, which you, I guess we could call the fetus. And this spirit form, called the Geist form in the German, is called a fragment of the creation. And the creation is the universal consciousness. So our universe has a consciousness about it. It thinks. It's very neutral, and it's called a Wesenheit in the Meyer teaching. And a Wesenheit is a very interesting term. We've got Wesen, and this is one of these compound words in the German. There's many compound words in the German. So the Wesen is an entity, an essence, a being. So the human being is a Wesen. Your cat, your dog, your horse are Wesen. Now the word Wesenheit, if you look it up in the Fige dictionary, it says an internatural form. If you look at in the book The Psyche, the word Wesenheit is defined as an immaterial existence form without a self-determining possibility for evolution. So let's stop there and try to make that clear. So we as Wesen, we have a self-determining possibility for evolution. So you can decide to study the spiritual teachings or not to. Now, this Wesenheit doesn't have that, but only to a limited degree does this universal consciousness have this self-determination. It has more in common in many ways with energy, stones, water, and gases to a certain extent. So let me give you an example. The creation expands for 155.5 trillion years. And I will speculate that the universal consciousness, it can't stop after 1 trillion years. It by its nature, follows this pattern. I would argue that. I would speculate on that. So it doesn't have self-determination like you and I do. Now, see, human beings have the free will to be lazy and unproductive. I do it. But I don't think it's possible for the creation to be lazy and unproductive. I think it has to follow its nature, so to speak. There is something called spirit energy. And this is a terrible pronunciation, but I'll try it. Geistenenergie. It's the spirit energy which is determined, every spirit energy which is determined in order to enliven some sort of life form, whereby not only humans, animals, and all creatures, but microbes, bacteria, viruses, and so forth are life forms. Also, rocks, stone, sand, and water, and so forth. These are also life forms. And it says here, they belong to the vicissitude of coming about and passing away in creational spirit energetic and is endowed according to the creational laws with its own granted intelligence. So this is amazing that rock, stone, sand, and water have some form of intelligence. Let me read that again. And I'll read starting here. Every spirit energy which is determined in order to enliven some sort of life form, whereby not only humans, animals, all creatures, microbes, bacteria, viruses, and so forth, are life forms. Rather, also rock, stone, sand, and water, and so forth, which belong to the vicissitude of coming and passing away, is creational spirit energetic and is endowed according to creational laws with its own granted intelligence through which the form of the living being, respectively, the life form is determined and steered. And I stumbled over this on the future of mankind. And this, I think, if my link is correct, this comes from a bulletin 59. Very interesting. And what it says here, spirit energy is within all things. And I just pulled this right off of the page here. Maybe I'll read just a little bit more. For the human, that means he can only comply with his consciousness evolution by means of his intelligence, which springs forth from his consciousness, and thereby also by means of his reason and understanding. But that would not be possible if the creational spirit form stored in the human would not bring the necessary intelligence into the consciousness of the human via the collective consciousness block. This is a very advanced article. There's a lot here to study. We'll definitely spend more time on this. So I was talking about your innermost personality. Your innermost personality is sending impulses to your material consciousness. Your material consciousness, and it has a great wisdom. And these impulses, they're quiet. The ego is loud, and it complicates everything. Where the spirit form is really focused on the effective truth. So your innermost creational nature, it gives life to the material consciousness and the subconsciousness. It gives life to the body. So when the spirit form comes in, the fetus, it gives life to the body. It creates impulses for striving. And listen to your impulses for striving. They will give you guidance on what you should do. And usually when you feel them, you'll feel a lot of enthusiasm, and you will feel an urgency when you get these creational impulses. And you have to learn to follow these. Now, there will also be something that it comes in to oppose that. It's just like the striving. There will be a negative that counteracts your striving. Whenever you're responding just the way you should to these creational impulses, the universe will also place a negative in there to slow you down. Now, okay, this is the spiritual self. It sends the quiet impulses of wisdom, which may be listened to by the inner nature. Your inner nature is your ego, your material consciousness. In fact, your inner nature should be formed out of the impulses of your innermost nature. So as time goes on and we learn more of this material, we'll, by our nature, start to understand when we're getting these impulses, and we'll go with it. And see, this is your inner counselor. It's your inner guidance. So human beings learn to pay attention to their and listen to their innermost nature. And the innate wisdom of the creational nature can then be conveyed to your inner nature, to your ego. So what is your ego? Again, I'll cover that quickly. It's the personality associated with this lifetime. It's based on your ideas, and those are underdeveloped. Remember, an IDEAS is not completely developed yet. Where an ideal, as Billy calls it, it's fully developed. The inner nature is calculating. It's demanding. It's hysterical. And what does hysterical mean? To be hysterical means deriving from or affecting by an uncontrolled extreme emotions. Synonyms: overwrought, emotional, uncontrolled, uncontrollable, out of control, unrestrained, unrestrainable, frenzied, wild, feverish. And your ego, and this is the unchecked ego here, it lives according to its own laws and its own regulations. It can be garrulous. It's very talkative, especially on trivial matters. It has unvalues, not values, unvalues. One of the, for example, an unvalue is boredom. As I said before, the ego complicates things, and it's threatened. It's actually threatened by the evolution of your consciousness. So the benefit of studying this is we can then evaluate ourselves. And once you learn the characteristics of your inner nature, you can tell when you're being motivated from the inner nature rather than the innermost creational nature. And when you're motivated from the inner nature, a lot of times you'll fall into the vicious cycle of negative thinking. So, and when you do that, this is how the ego creates a tyranny over your consciousness, from the vicious cycle of wrong thinking. This is called the false self, the rat's self. So, anyway, on page 390 of The Might of Thoughts, it says the human being is able to distinguish the various impulses and values of the innermost nature, that's your spirit form again, from the self-created personality, which is your ego. So he or she therefore learns to recognize the various forms of characteristics which, on the one hand, radiate as guiding impulses from the innermost creation of nature, or which, on the other hand, attempt to drown out everything as piercing and often loud, seductive voices from the self-created I. You'll have, when you're functioning under the guiding impulses of your innermost nature, you'll be very motivated. You'll have a real sense of life, a sense of accomplishment, where if you're under the guidance of the ego, we tend to just be searching, and not necessarily finding. And this is related to your attitude. What is an attitude? And an attitude is an acquired or predisposed mental state. And after a while, you will get an evolutive attitude when you start to realize that following the guiding impulses of your innermost nature is the best thing that you can possibly do. On page 378, it talks about the human being trusting himself. So the human being must trust himself or herself in his or her own power and might. Now, this is very interesting, the building of the trust of yourself. So, and what also you'll do is you'll start to feel your own power. And this is mentioned on page 384. So we're just jumping into some. Page 384. For everything and anything which the human being ever undertakes in a good, right, and positive context, he must build up the necessary, appropriate enthusiasm and confidence. It is always necessary. It is always necessary. This is a list he has. It is always necessary to be relaxed in all trains of thought, acts, and deeds. Therefore, tenseness should never arise, regardless of whatever happens. Only a really relaxed human being is also mindful in his or her thinking and his or her actions. So remember, an important thing to tell yourself: I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, but I know life has some difficulties to throw at me. So remember the inclusion of a little negative to balance out your positive. I think mostly we're negative. I think we're very much entrained to be negative, especially during the first 7 years of our life. We're mostly in a theta state where we are learning so many things. We're almost hypnotized and we're learning so much. And we pull in a lot of negativity during those first years of our life. And we develop these bad habits of not being confident, of not being optimistic. So I think it's very good to tell yourself you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, you're enthusiastic. You're the master of your own destiny. You're the forger of your own fortune. I am the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. So this is one of the most important things, is learning to steer your thoughts. And this is part of feeling your own power and taking quiet moments to do the inner reflection. 10, quiet moments are always necessary in every case, regardless of whatever is undertaken and carried out. 11, the human being must constantly practice being him / herself and feeling his or her own power, so that he or she can again and again renew himself in his vision and his power. So listening to these quiet impulses from your spirit form will renew your power. The human being must knowingly recognize his inner powers and self-created abilities and see him or herself as the effective owner of his or her own self-created inner wealth. It's really up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me to use your consciousness to pay attention to these quiet impulses of wisdom. You know, our spirit form, I believe most Earth humans are around 46 million years old in their spiritual consciousness. It says it somewhere here in the book, The Psyche. I could probably find it for you, but it's tempting. Some of us have a spirit form 8 to 12 million years old. Those are people who came here in the ancient past, like from systems like the Pleiaren system, and died on the earth and became part of the reincarnational patterns of the earth. So we have a spirit form that's a little older. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. 4 million years seems like a lot, but it's really not that much more. Stoth, who was Billy's mentor for the first 11 years of his life, he was from the Pleiaren system. The Pleiaren system is about 80 light years beyond our Pleiades, in a different space-time configuration. The Pleiaren came to their system 230,000 years ago. They were led by a king of wisdom. The title is Ishwish in Lyrian, named Asael. He brought about 183 of these large motherships, spacer ships, and 250 or 60 smaller ships. And they terraformed three planets in the Pleiaren system. The home planet they call Ira. I have right on tip of my tongue the names of the other ones, but I'll probably screw them up, so I won't say anything. But the Pleiaren came here. Peladon came here from the Pleiaren system. He was the first Ishwish on the Earth, I believe. They developed a system, a civilization that covered every continent of the Earth. When Peladon died, Justice took over, and the civilization had a great war, and then the civilization collapsed. Now, the people that were killed in that war and the people that died during that time on the Earth, their spirit forms became part of the reincarnational patterns of Earth. So these are the people that have the older spirit form. They have a bit of an advantage because they're getting a little bit more powerful impulse, a quiet impulse that has a little more information, a little more power from these previous lives. So they have a natural inclination towards material like this and a little more open mind. So each reincarnation, they'll be a little more likely to pick up on material like this and do the necessary study. I'm just going to go 30 minutes tonight. I've got about 6 minutes left, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the creational natural laws. The first one being love. Love is the highest principle in all creation. You hear it? Everything exists in absolute logic. So the first thing love is logical. One of the characteristics of love, true love, effective love, not romantic love, is it's logical. And this logic of love is also related to our existence. You see, our existence also is logical. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. So love is also our purpose. Even the tiny plants and animals fulfill this purpose. Another interesting thing about the love associated with creation, what it says is the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So if you want to see and experience the love of the power of our universe, look to the beauty of nature. It's a visible expression of love. A lot of times we talk about, you know, loving words and romantic words, but the real power, the real effective love, is found in this visible expression of the creativity of creation. Nothing against music. I'm a great music-loving person. But it's also some way related perhaps to these quiet impulses, because the innermost personality is quiet. But it sends these impulses, and they will motivate you. And they'll create a harmony. They'll create a harmony within you. Now, harmony is a combination of simultaneously sounded notes to produce what they call chords, chord progressions, and they create a very pleasing effect. And the term harmony is derived from the Greek, which means agreement, to fit together, to join. So an understanding of the first creational law, which is love, the second creational law, which is striving, which is your work. Now, nothing is more motivating than the guidance that comes from these quiet impulses. And let me read this here again, and I think I read it earlier. And the other personality is the innermost nature, the creational I, which is of a purely spiritual nature, and whose quiet impulses of wisdom are not listened to, or only extremely seldom listened to by the human being in general. It is exactly this innermost personality, the innermost creational nature, to which one must give one's actual attention. In order to form out of its impulses one's inner nature, that is to say one's inner personality. So your material consciousness should be forming itself based on these quiet impulses of wisdom, which should then be outwardly expressed by means of the might of the thoughts. Therefore, the more the human being learns to pay attention to his innermost nature and to listen to it. Again, we're listening. The more the ability is developed to contemplate everything and to integrate it into his or her inner nature as well as his or her actual life, whereby the impulses of his or her innermost nature have an increasingly lasting effect, and the innate wisdom of the creational nature can be conveyed to the inner nature, which one must form. through the consciousness's awake ability to access, the human being is able to distinguish the various impulses and values of the innermost nature from the self-created personality. So he or she therefore learns to recognize the various forms of characteristics which on the one hand radiate as guiding impulses from his innermost creational nature, or which on the other hand attempt to drown out everything as various piercing, often loud, seductive voices from the self-created eye. So listen to the quiet impulse of wisdom, and do not listen to the loud, garrulous ego. Well, very short show today. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics, and I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great evening.